and carry you back to memory days. And these remarks are especially directed towards my good friend, Honorable Carl Rice, in Kansas City, Missouri. I love little memories that spring up along life's way, like violets on a riverbank. They give a breath of sweetness to the hardest day. Small blades of grass gathered on the lawn make a happy nest for the robin. In the heat of earthly struggles, as we are bewildered by vexing problems and saddened by testing trials, it is restful to fly to a nest of dreams made of tender vines and fragrant blooms, plucked on a long journey down a trail of fond remembrance. As you know, I recall the hills of my boyhood home and see rainbows arched over a peak flushed with floral beauty. I used to build high castles there as I watched the summer clouds change their forms above the rippling Tuckasegee. Sometimes there were palaces of white marble tinted with delicate pink or opal or gold. Again, there were spires and domes with a grandeur mirrored in beautiful blue lakes. In those vapory transformations, I witnessed a kaleidoscopic view of the ever-shifting things of life. The changes were rapid. A spire that reached the foothills of the hidden stars one moment tumbled and fell the next. Golden strands by turquoise ocean rims quickly became the blasted no man's land of an aerial battlefield. Colorful forests swapped foliage almost instantly. Painted gondolas raced swiftly through ponds of twinkling silver hidden in the white blossoms of the sky. Sweet memories are like dainty desserts on the dinner table. We gain strength for climbing the mountains of tomorrow by studying leaves from the valley of yesterday. It cheers and refreshes us to dream again the old dreams and stimulate our hearts with the old aspirations. Garnered fragrance never ceases till we forget it. The gold of youth never tarnishes while we use it. Don't be ashamed of your treasured memories. There are little silk stitches taken in the royal garment of life. They carry us back to sunlit hills or shadowed with dells, where cowbells tinkled at eventide, and wild birds left a song in our hearts. I found happiness in the castle I built on the mystic shore of childhood. I've enjoyed the dreams of those soft, sweet days. It is refreshing to wander back and peep into the old cradle, lighted by a flame in the chimney and rocked with the hand of an angel. It is sweet to sit at the hearthstone and listen for the crickets that sang there on winter nights in the long, long ago. Life is dear as long as we can draw inspiration from the garden of its dreams. It is fresh while the rosebuds of memory still smile through the dewdrops. And I'm going to digress from this and say that there is the best possible authority for the belief that every human being should render a service in this world according to the talents bestowed by the Creator. That injunction is laid down in the great statutes of Holy Writ, and it gives recognition to the fact that men and women do not come into the world with equal equipment or to perform a like service. Poets are born. All the college training in the world could not produce an Edgar Allan Poe or a William Shakespeare. A golden voice is a divine gift. The talent to paint a Mona Lisa was inspired above. I think it is equally true that executives get their ability from the supreme designer. That is given in the form of patience to begin at the bottom and work up with care and perseverance. It does not do for every person to be an executive. No mind has imagination to form a military system in which each one of us would be a general. There must be soldiers as well as captains. And while we're all endowed with equal political and civil rights, God's scheme could not have provided for universal equal results. The prizes of life will go to those to render the most efficient and intelligent service. And I want to ask you, fathers and mothers of Radioland, this Sunday evening, are you rendering any service? What are you doing? Are you listening to the propagandists, or are you using your common sense? You know, for 2 years, ladies and gentlemen, I've been talking to you. I've been telling you of these troublesome days that are now here. I've been warning you. I've been telling you what to do, how to do it. And if you've not, my money has been spent in vain to bring these broadcasts to you. You know, I like to think of a day when there'll be more comfort and happiness in the working man's home. I want to see him able to buy the beautiful wife a new dress when she needs it. I want to see him in a position to educate his boy to be a doctor or a lawyer if he has the ability. I want to see him so situated that he can give his daughter music and bring out her talents. There ought to be a better distribution of factory earnings. The laborer who gives freely of the strength with which he has been endowed in a worthy pursuit is entitled to more than past generations have allowed him. I want to see him provided for more abundantly. I want to see sweeter blooms wafting their fragrance through the windows where he dwells. But poverty will prevail. Unequal results will be acquired. There will be both rich and poor out to the uttermost ends of time. Because our master said so. You remember when he was with, in the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, there at Bethany, and the Magdalene anointed him with this precious ointment. And Judas raised the question, why should not this precious ointment be sold and the proceeds is given to the poor instead of wasted on him? And he told Judas that the poor they would have with them always, but he, the Nazarene, they would not. You know, we can paint pictures of a paradise. We can fancy a rose without a thorn, or a forest in which each tree will stand, its green plumes waving on a level with all the others. We can talk of a summer of perfect days, free from the fury of all storms. We can imagine a rainbow arching an emerald meadow strewn with faultless blooms. But let me tell you, human nature will have to undergo a new birth, and the plans of the Almighty will have to be abandoned before we can sail a golden sea under a tortuous sky, free from all the clouds of poverty. Our talents are not the same. Our hopes are not the same. Our efforts are not the same. And our attainments in gathering the fruits of life will not be the same. Each should do his dead level best. When we've done that, we'll have fulfilled our obligations, and the rewards will not be disappointing. For 2 years, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to me talk to you about the danger overseas. Everything I have predicted has come true, and what has not come true is rapidly coming true and will come true. I've told you what to do. One thing I've asked you to do is to invite your friends into your home to listen to these Sunday evening broadcasts. Another thing I've asked you to do was, if you could afford it, to send $1 to Publicity Newspaper, Wichita, Kansas, for a 6-month subscription. And once every week, or for a total of 26 weeks, once a week, you'll receive a copy of this weekly paper containing in full, complete, one of my Sunday night broadcasts. Now, it's a whole lot better for you to spare a dollar now while you can, and get this paper and read these broadcasts, and have your neighbors read, and have your neighbors subscribe, than it is to go along and do nothing about it until it's everlastingly too late you to do anything. And the day is rapidly coming when you will not be able to do anything. Just as surely as you listen to me this Sunday night, this the first day of October, 1939. This is the month in which we are told in 1492 Columbus reached the shores of North or South America. The date, October 12th. Columbus had to have the Queen pawn her jewels to get some money to send him over here. When he left, wherever he left from, he didn't know where he was going to when he started. When he got over here, he didn't know where he was when he got here. And after he got back, he didn't know where he'd been. And that's the condition of many of us today. We're going on borrowed money, and when we reach our destination, we don't know where we are. When we return, we don't know where we've been. Too many of us are muddled in this way. The last day of this month, 31st day of October, I believe it is Halloween, when lots of foolish pranks are played upon the innocent. A foolish, useless, expensive, hurtful practice. I hope you will discourage your children from engaging in any such pranks as Halloween this year. It'd be far better if on Halloween night you'd bring your children into home by the fireside and read a chapter from the Bible and talk to them of their soul, something that is really worth saving, something that is really worthwhile. How many of you ever gather your boys and girls together and give them a talk on right and wrong? How many of you fathers and mothers take your boys and girls into your confidence and explain matters of sex and religion and loyalty? How many of you do this? How many of your boys and girls have any concept of what is real patriotism? How many can give a definition for real Americanism? If these talks that I give you, ladies and gentlemen, these Sunday nights over this station are worth anything to you, I'm always glad to have a letter from you. Everything I say on these Sunday evening talks is intended to raise men and women and boys and girls to a higher level. Mrs. Brinkley and John and I need you in our hospitals to help us carry on. Come to see us. Write us. Let us examine you and treat you. And address Dr. J.R. Brinkley, the Brinkley Hospital, Little Rock, Arkansas, and tell your neighbors to come too. Goodbye.